Shiloh this week, which I think is a Shiloh to think about. It's something I never looked into before, but I took the opportunity to do so. The Shiloh was somebody had a baby, Baruch Hashem, a Mazel Tov, and they wanted to know about making the bracha of Shehechiyanu or Hatov HaMeitiv upon having this child. The unfortunate part of the story is that the child was a Down syndrome baby, and they called me this morning to share that piece of information, that would the bracha be recited as a bracha would be recited by the birth of another child or not. So let's break this down a little bit. Let's begin with the Gemara in Brachas Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara says that Yaldo Ishto Zachar, a man whose wife has a male child, who has a boy, Mevarech Hatov HaMeitiv. The Gemara instructs us to make a bracha of Hatov HaMeitiv. And this is not only found in the Gemara, this is quoted Lahalacha in Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Bracha Simen Reish Chav Gimel, that a person has to make a bracha, and not only is the man obligated to make the bracha, but the mother of the child is also equally obligated to make this bracha. My father told us when we had a baby that one of us should make it on behalf of the other. Berovam Hadras Melech, he may as well have two people knock off the bracha at once. So he said that one of us should make it on behalf of the other, and we should answer Amen to the other one who's making the bracha. The Mishnah Berurah writes, not only do we assume that this applies if you're there at the time of the birth, there in the hospital, but even, for example, you have somebody who's stuck in a jail somewhere, or somebody who's on a business trip, and he finds out that his wife had a baby, even though he was not present, when he hears the wonderful news that his wife had a baby boy, he makes the bracha of Hatov HaMeitiv, and obviously, this is supposed to be made with Shem Umalchus. This is not just an abbreviated, this is not just a bracha that the Gemara says, Baruch Hatov HaMeitiv. It's the real bracha with Shem Umalchus, the same way we would recite any other bracha. The Bir Halacha, which is written by the Mishnah Berurah, has an interesting comment. So what would be the halacha if a person has a bunch of boys, and now we would be very interested in having a girl? It would be very nice to have a girl to even out the family a little bit. So now, it's before the days of an ultrasound, it's before they knew exactly what gender the child was. Now, much to their dismay, they have a very healthy child, but much to their dismay, the child is born and it turns out to be a girl. It's not what they thought it would be. So the Mishnah Berurah has a suffix, would a person make a bracha Hatov HaMeitiv in a case where they wanted the opposite gender and they didn't get what they wanted? Or, says the Mishnah Berurah, maybe you should say, in the end of the day, you have a healthy child, what can you be happier about that? That's the best thing in the world. Yeah, you had a preference, you wanted a boy over a girl, but in the end of the day, maybe we would say that, I'm sorry, you wanted a girl over a boy, but if the boy was born in the end, you would make the Hatov HaMeitiv. Anyway, he ends off with the Tzarech Iyun, he's not exactly sure. The Aruch HaShulchan picks up on that point and says he doesn't see why it should be a difference whether you wanted a boy or you wanted a girl. Objectively, we assume you have a baby boy and everything's fine. We would assume a bracha should be recited of Hatov HaMeitiv. No reason to question that at all. So the Kloizemiger Rebbe has in his Tshuvas, the famous Tshuvas Sefer that he wrote, his Divrei Yetziv, so he pointed out that he doesn't understand why it is that nowadays people don't recite this bracha. How come you have a baby boy, everybody's happy, and you say Mazel Tov, but nobody says Hatov HaMeitiv? It's Mefurish in the Gemara, it's Mefurish in Shulchan Aruch, shouldn't we be following this custom? And he says, the truth is, if you look in the Rush, and the Rambam, and the Rif, it seems that they don't quote this bracha. So he doesn't understand why is it that they leave it out, and why is it that there are many who don't have the practice to do it. And if you look, Rav Moshe Feinstein discusses the point as well in the Igros Moshe, and Rav Moshe writes as follows. Masha harbe mekilim ve'enem mevarchim, this that we find that many people are lax about this bracha, and they don't recite it when they have the blessing of having a baby boy. He says he doesn't really think it's proper. Min hanochen hu levarech, you really should make a bracha, af lahasovim shu reshus, even if you assume that such a bracha is optional. It's not absolutely mandatory, but why not take the option of making a wonderful bracha, taking the opportunity to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for what he's blessed you with. V'kol shekein, and certainly if you feel that a bracha like this is an absolute obligation, it's a chova, Rav Moshe says he doesn't understand why we should not be careful about this bracha. Ein lezalzel l'hakel, says Rav Moshe. We shouldn't just brush this off and say, oh, we don't do this anymore. Of course we do it. Rav Moshe says, v'adai kiven sherashoy levarech, since we have the right, since we have the option to make such a bracha when a baby boy is given to us, yesh lecha lecha levarech, a person should make a bracha, af l'gdolei olam, he says. You could be the biggest tzaddik in the world. Doesn't matter who you are. You should take time aside to go and thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for what he gave you. And Rav Moshe goes on to bring a proof from the fact that the Gemara says they had the famous Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi who went ahead and made a bracha on when a new fruit came out or something. So you say, oh, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi has nothing better to worry about, and you know, the new pumpkin, it says, the new pumpkin came out into the neighborhood, now he's all excited. What's so exciting about that? The answer is, you have an opportunity to give shvach to the Ribbono Shel Olam, even if it's just on a fruit, on a pumpkin, you take the time. Even if Rabbi Yehuda, it's worth taking the time to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam, and therefore says Rav Moshe, he doesn't think there's any reason, there's any justification not to make this bracha the way the Gemara instructs us to do so. and the way the Shulchan Aruch says as well. Now the Magen Avraham has a comment. When he talks about reciting this bracha, he says when a person recites the bracha, you should be mishtachaveh keneged hamizrach. When you make the bracha, so you'll say, I'm in the delivery room, and obviously you can only make the bracha after everybody's covered up and everything is safe, tznius-wise. So we're talking about a case like that, but says the Magen Avraham, when you make the bracha, you should turn to the mizrach, and obviously the Nosa Kelim, right, that's only if you daven toward the mizrach, but if you live on the other side of the world, so then you should face the other way. And he says, yishtachaveh, you should bow, which seems to be, it's a submission. A person should have the feeling that they're so grateful, they're so humbled by the gift that they've been given. Says the Magen Avraham, you should bow as you recite the bracha to show how grateful you are for the brachas that you've gotten. Now the Prima Gadim says that this is the case with all brachas that a person recites, Mishum Shvach Vehoda. Says the Prima Gadim there on that Magen Avraham. This doesn't only apply to the bracha of Hatova Hameitev when a baby boy is born, but it applies as well to any Birchas HaShvach that you recite. The Magen Avraham's rule would apply that you should turn toward the Mizrach, and you should make the bracha Bihishtach Havaya. And then the Prima Gadim adds on also, you should say Hodu LaHashem Kitov, you should say other things, you should thank the Ribbono Shalom. Not only should you limit it to the Hatova Hameitev, but you should add on other psukim as well to show your feelings of gratitude, of gratefulness. Now, Aruch HaShulchan points out, Lo Yadati Tamlazeh, I never heard of this Magen Avraham. Again, he knew the Magen Avraham, but he says, I don't know where the source is, I don't know where he comes from. I don't know why a person should bow down when he makes the bracha, and I don't know why you would face the east when you make the bracha. That's only when you're davening Shemona Esrei. So the Aruch HaShulchan is not sure where this comes from, and in fact, in the Mishnah Berurah, he doesn't even quote the Magen Avraham at all. The Magen Avraham is found on the side of the page, but this is not quoted la'alach in the Mishnah Berurah. Just an idea to think about. I don't think you lose anything, but I think it's something to consider. The Magen Avraham is bringing to our attention the feelings of gratitude should bring a person to humility as well, to realize how lucky we are to have the blessings that we've been given in our own private lives. There is a discussion that the Bir Halacha quotes from the Sefer Hasidim. Sefer Hasidim is a sefer that was put together from three Hasidei Gedolei Ashkenaz. Those were German Gedolim who lived in the 12th and 13th centuries. I think it's a compilation of the thoughts of Reb Shmuel HaChassid and his son Reb Yehuda HaChassid and Reb Elazar Rokeach, some of the Rishonim. So they called it the Sefer HaChassidim because it was a compilation of the works of three different great tzaddikim and Hasidim. So the Bir Halacha quotes from the Sefer HaChassidim that maybe the same way a parent makes a bracha when a baby boy is born, you make a Hatova HaMeitiv, maybe a grandparent should also make a bracha Hatova HaMeitiv. It's very exciting. We have a grandchild. Certainly if it's the first grandchild, you're very excited. So maybe you should make the bracha. The Mishnah Berurah quotes this discussion, and he's not exactly sure. And then he ends off and he says, well, since it's not really clear in the earlier sources that this is what we should do, therefore we have the practice that we do not, even though a grandparent is very excited, but still, the grandparent should not recite the bracha on their own. So my father, when we had a baby, my father said, why don't you wait for the grandparents to come to the hospital? They're going to come the first day. You reserve your Hatova HaMeitiv. You don't have to make it the second the baby is born. Why not reserve the Hatova HaMeitiv to let everybody answer the bracha? Let the grandparents be a part of your bracha as well. No reason to get involved in the shaila that the Mishnah Berurah has here about whether or not the grandparents should make. And in fact, the conclusion that the Mishnah Berurah and the Maharsham and others come to is that we should not have the grandparents recite their own Hatova HaMeitiv. I did see, though, that in the Halicha Shlomo, which is the practices of Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, they say that when he had his first grandchild, he was so excited, he was so happy that now he was a grandparent, so he knew that it was a discussion whether or not a grandparent is supposed to make the bracha on his own. I guess for some reason he wasn't going to the hospital to hear it from the parents either. He had better things to do. So they had Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach told his family that they should bring him fancy wines. And the halacha is if you have a wine that you're not used to generally drinking and you have a lot of hana, you have a lot of celebration from the fact that you're getting a delicious wine, you should make a bracha Hatova HaMeitiv as well as the bracha Baruch Priya Gafen. So Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach suggested that now that he was very excited and he didn't want to get involved in the shaila about whether or not a grandparent is supposed to make a bracha on his own, so he said, bring me a fancy wine, I'll make the Hatova HaMeitiv on the wine, and I'll have in mind for the new grandchild that was born as well. The same way that, let's say, when we have a suffix on Shechiyana, we put on a Beged Chadash or something like that on Rosh Hashanah or times of that nature. So too over here, Shlomo Zalman said, I'll take care of the problem, I'll make a Hatova HaMeitiv on the fancy wine, and then that will take care of my obligation for the Hatova HaMeitiv that should be recited on the grandchild, dependent on the Sefer Hasidim and this Mishnah Berurah that we mentioned. So now, what happens if you have a child who's born prematurely? Sometimes you have a child who has not finished up the entire duration of the pregnancy, and you don't know whether this child is going to survive. So again, if you have a child who's born 2-3 weeks premature, no big deal. You put them in the incubator, everything's fine. But the Gemara had an assumption that if you had a child who was born in the seventh month, there was no way, certainly in the technology of their generation, of their times, there was no way the child would survive. It was almost an impossibility. So the Buchacher, the Eshel Avram, he was one of the great, great Gedolim in the end of the 1700s, halfway through the 1800s. He was, surprisingly, he wrote a beautiful pirush in the back of Shulchan Aruch. Here on Aruch Chaim, it's called the Eshel Avram. He has on other parts of Shulchan Aruch as well, but he was a Talmud of the Barditchever and of Rav Moshe Leib Sasever. So he was a shtickel chassidish, and he was the Rav of a town in Galicia, Buchach. But yet he wrote very important svarim that are very much heavily relied upon in halacha. So the Eshel Avram discusses this case, and he says, what happens if you have a preemie, and you don't know what's going to be? You don't know if the child is going to live or not. Now, you're very excited about the fact that he had a baby. You're very excited about the fact that your wife is okay and the family is fine, but you're not sure what's going to be with this child. It could be, the doctors tell you, it could be the child will survive. It could be the child will not survive. So he writes that he thinks it doesn't make sense that the parents should make a bracha then, because you're not fully excited about that. You don't know what's going to be with this kid. The kid was born prematurely. You don't know how it's going to pan out. And therefore, he says, even though you never know whether a child is going to live, you never know what's going to happen, but al pi rov, most cases are that the child is going to be healthy and okay. So therefore, says the Eshel Avram, in most regular cases, you make the bracha. But over here, where there's a high probability that everything's not going to be okay, and the child might not survive the illness that it was born with, or the premature stage that it was born in. So in a case like that, says the Eshel Avram, he thinks the bracha should not be recited then upon the birth, but rather he says you should bake the bracha acharei shloshim, after 30 days when the child is healthy and everything turns out to be okay, then you should make the bracha. You look in the later editions of the Eshel Avram, which are on the bottom of the page, and he seems to have a second opinion about this himself. He says, well, I agree with what I said originally, that you shouldn't make the bracha at the time of birth, but perhaps even waiting 30 days you can't make the bracha then, because Chazal instituted the bracha should be recited when the child is born. So when 30 days passes, you've already gotten used to the fact that the child was born. You don't have the same level of excitement as the time that the child was born in the first place. So therefore, the Eshel Avram retracts, and he says, it's a suffix brachas, and he says, if you have a child who at the time of the birth, we're not sure that it's going to live, so a bracha should not be recited then. And even when the child gets better and we see that the chances of their survival are very high and things look like they're going in the right direction, he says, then it's probably going to be too late. Again, if it's 2-3 days later, if it's a couple of days, it's fine, but if it's going to be a long, extended period of time, the Eshel Avram writes, he doesn't think that a bracha should be recited then, because the bracha was instituted to be recited at the time of the birth, when they're very excited about the fact that the child was born. So here we get to the question, and it's a very sensitive question, that was asked this week. And that was, so this person called me up this morning and said he had a child that was born. Generally, we follow the Shulchan Aruch, which says that you're supposed to recite a Hatova Hameita when a baby boy is born, but yet, unfortunately, his child was born with Down syndrome. How should a Hatov be made on a child that's born with a very serious illness like Down syndrome? Something of that nature, where the child will not have a regular functioning lifestyle as many other children might have. So this, I saw, I didn't have a chance, I tried to call my father to ask him what he thought, but I did see in the Sefer Toras HaYoledes, which is written by Rav Zilberstein, it's a son-in-law of Rebbe Yashiv. So he wrote about this case, and he says, a child who is born with Down syndrome, he says, Av sheyesh bazeh simcha al haradas hanashama liolam, even though, of course, the parents are happy about the fact that a new neshama came into the world, and he says, that is mekarev bias hamashiach, as we know the Gemara says in Nida Daf Yud Gimel, Mashiach cannot come at sheyichle kol haneshama shabaguf, Mashiach will not come until all the neshamas are finished up. Now, what exactly that means, not really sure. Rashi writes on Maseches Nida that there seems to be a chamber that holds all the neshamas and shamayim. Once they're all going to be born, then Mashiach could come. So parenthetically, Tosis asked the Kasha there, how can you tell me once all the neshamas are born, Mashiach is going to come? Don't we have another Gemara that says that Mashiach is going to come when everybody keeps two Shabbosos, when everyone keeps Shabbos? What do you mean? When everyone keeps Shabbos, maybe all the neshamas aren't going to be born, so how do you explain it? Okay, so Tosis deals with all these problems. But simply, the Gemara tells us that Mashiach is not going to come until all the neshamas are born. So even if you have a child who unfortunately has a terrible illness, who unfortunately is inflicted with Down syndrome, and he's not going to have a regular life like many other children might have, the opportunities that many other children might have, he might not have, but still, you're being mekarev bias HaMashiach, and therefore, obviously, you are very happy. Now, it's fascinating that he says that's why the parent is happy. How many parents, when they bring a child into the world, are happy because of the fact that they're being mekarev bias HaMashiach? That's what he says. He says, Lefi zeh, yesh makam gadol lahodos la'Hashem Yisbarach gam aledes hashote. Therefore, he says, I do understand that there is a great reason to celebrate even when a person unfortunately gives birth to a child who is not well. Shebele dasa makarvin bias hamashiach, and he says, certainly, undoubtedly, you're also makayim puruvu with such a child, even if he's not going to have the opportunity to have a fulfilled lifestyle like many others. But bechozos, he says, he asked his father-in-law Rabbi Yashav, and he told him, ein levarach, you should not make the bracha of hatov ha-metiv on a baby boy that's born with that kind of illness, because he said that the child is not going to grow up to have a life like many other children are going to have. And therefore he says that the parent's simcha is not complete, and since the simcha is not absolutely complete, because Rabbi Yashav threw into the mix, he quoted a gemara, but Rabbi Yashav threw in that the excitement, part of the excitement that a parent has when they give birth to a child is that when the parent's older, the children are going to be able to take care of me. When I'm not able to take care of myself, my children are going to be able to take care of me. But if I'm not going to have that, because this child is unfortunately not going to be able to do that, that takes away a little bit from the simcha of a parent. So therefore, the Taras Hayoledes writes that if unfortunately someone has this kind of situation where a child with Down syndrome is born, although the parents should celebrate the fact that they had a child, and although they should be happy about the fact that they're Mekayim Puruvu, and they should be happy about the fact that they're being Mekarav Bias HaMashiach, unfortunately their simcha is not going to be 100% complete. And in a case like that, he suggested that a bracha of Hatov HaMetiv should not be recited.